Well, once again, welcome to a Friday edition of NFL Matchup, Fantasy Matchup. I'm here with Jed Lamb, my co-host sitting in Chicago, Jimmy sitting in Phoenix. Welcome, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, here we are in week four. The first COVID case has hit. As we're recording today, President Trump and his wife has been tested positive with COVID. So now we're beginning to see all of it affect. Now games are postponed, everything like that. Big news everywhere.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens to the debates if they have to postpone that. But as you said, Tennessee Titans versus Pittsburgh Steelers postponed. Titans team came down with a rash of COVID, and it looks like they're going to be rescheduling it for week seven. Yeah. So that's best case scenario that doesn't screw up the scheduling. But we'll see, because all it's going to take is another team or two, and then it could really mess up the schedule. So we'll see how this plays out.
And wouldn't you say a lot of times, Jed and Jim, you're treating this as a bye week. Pretty much their bye week has now just been moved up. Now, if we see a couple other teams, now then we start seeing problems. But right now, one game postponed, it's a bye week.
Yeah, basically, I mean, that's the way the NFL is treating it. It's interesting when you think about it. So let's say there's no other cases. You know, having an early bye week is a real disadvantage to teams. You just really see, you know, towards the end of the season, you have a lot of injuries. You need that extra week to rest. And so it's going to be interesting because this is going to screw up the Ravens, too. It's going to move up their bye week. But for the Steelers, you know, they're a contender. And so this really does mess things up for them. So we'll see what happens.
That's true. I agree.
Hey, Jim, as we look at news and notes, what are some of the highlights from this week in terms of news that you're looking at?
Well, I think we were just talking earlier. I wish I picked up Justin Jefferson on my lineup this week. I mean, he went off for the Vikings, and I actually think that there's a potential for him to do really well for the rest of the season. Now, as I'm looking at this week, he might have also a letdown from such a great game because everyone's going after him and picking him up. But I actually think that he will be a good receiver for the rest of the season as well, too, for the Vikings.
You know, if you think about it, guys, this season, we've seen a lot of number two receivers. So Jefferson's the number two behind Thielen. But we've seen a lot of teams where the number two has really taken over the number one slot. You think of even a Julio Jones, you know, is he really now taking the back seat and is this the number two? You know, the same way like Chris Godwin took over from Mike Evans. I mean, it's really interesting how many situations DK Metcalf,
Mike Gallup, I mean, did really well this past week. Yeah,
it's just a really interesting scenario where maybe offenses are not so, or defenses are taking away the number ones now, and so there's not as much of a distinction between the number one and the number two. Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about Justin Jefferson, he had seven catches, 175 yards last week. He probably won't meet that, but they are playing Houston, who, by the way, did not sign Earl Thomas. So Earl Thomas has no home. They could not agree on the contract. And so I think a lot of times playing against Houston, you're going to see Thielen do a little bit better with the presence of Justin Jefferson. I think a lot of times he's a great pickup for whoever has him.
Well, I think the other thing with Jefferson is they're helped by Dalvin Cook. I mean, he ran for, what, over 180-something yards. And so if you have a great running game and it just opens things up for your passes, and Jefferson's fast, you know, between him and Thielen and Kirk Cousins just throwing it, I can see them chucking that thing all day, especially if Cook is going to run so well.
Yeah, Jed, any other news and notes that really sticks out to you this week?
Well, as far as the games, I was just going to say that, you know, just looking at the betting lines and the spreads, I think this is an underdog week. For some reason, I just like a lot of the underdogs. My big pick for the week this week, the Falcons are playing the Packers in Green Bay. The Falcons are 7-point underdogs. I think the Falcons are due for a win. You know, they're 0-3. They got Todd Gurley going last week. I look for Calvin Ridley to have another big game. And so I'm expecting the Falcons to get their first big win of the season versus the Packers.
Hey, Jed, a lot of times, and Jim, I'd love to get your thoughts on, you look at Todd Gurley at the Falcons. He split essentially carries with Hill. And so Hill had 9 carries at the same time. Are you worried about Todd Gurley? Plus the fact that in this year alone, in terms of pass catching, Devontae Freeman caught a lot of passes out of the backfield. Todd Gurley, total in the season, 3. Any of you guys concerned?
For me, I'm not worried about Hill. Gurley outproduced him by quite a bit. Gurley still had over 100 yards last week and the touchdown. He also had the key TD touchdown carries, the goal line carries. So I agree with you, though. It's something to watch. It's chipping into him. Gurley, for me, has never been really more than an RB2. So as long as you're not looking at him to produce like RB1 numbers, I think you'll be fine. And actually, I think he had a slow start to the season. So, but I think it's going to pick up. I'm still not sold on the Falcons being this bad team, especially for fantasy. They're still putting up a lot of points for fantasy.
So let me ask you, if you guys were in a dynasty league, would you consider picking up Brian Hill on your team? And if you had a spot?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's so many other rookie running backs this year that I'd rather have than a Hill. That's probably not a guy that I want to build my team mm-hmm. around.
Yeah.
Jim, any other which matchups are you looking at this week or games that you're looking at this week?
You know, the other person that I've been really kind of paying attention to is Justin Herbert. I actually think Justin Herbert is going to continue to do well. I mean, the last 2 weeks, he's thrown for 300 yards. Keenan Allen is benefiting the most from Justin Herbert coming in to play. And so I think, especially given that they're going to be playing against the Cowboys, and last week the Cowboys just scored tons of points, I actually think this is going to be a great matchup from an offensive perspective, and Justin Herbert's going to do really well this week. The other go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think the Chargers aren't playing the Cowboys because the Cowboys are playing the Browns, right? So I think.
Chargers
are playing the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of points there. It's a big spread. It's a 7-point spread. Tampa's expected to win, but I actually think that's a trap game. I could see Tampa losing because I agree with you. I think Herbert has been amazing. Even though they lost, the guy has had poise. He's put points up, put up yards. So I could see them sneaking in and winning that game.
Hey, look. Forget Herbert. I've been trying to trade for Keenan Allen all week. All right. I've made so many offers for Keenan Allen because a lot of times I've suddenly seen Keenan Allen suddenly, especially in PPR leagues that I'm in, getting so many receptions. So Everywhere again this week, I've made multiple trade offers for Keenan Allen.
Speaking of Chargers, I actually was watching the game last night. It wasn't the best game in the world, but there was a part of me that was like, I wonder if I should have gone after Gordon. A little bit more.
Yeah, he had two touchdowns last night. I didn't watch the game. In my mind, I was like Broncos Jets. That's going to be boring. But Brett Rippon, you know, he had two touchdowns. They got the win. He threw three interceptions too. But the story was definitely Melvin Gordon. But I don't know if you guys saw this guy Tim Patrick. Maybe you saw him, Jay, when you were watching.
I know. I saw 113
and a TD. I was like, who is this guy? Came out of nowhere. Jerry Jeudy still had a touchdown, but you expected him. But I didn't know who this Tim Patrick guy is.
Yeah, well, it was all due to Brett Rippon. I watched a little bit of the game. He did well the first three quarters. And I still remember the commentators, Aikman, and we're just talking about how good and composed he is. He is the nephew of Mark Rippon, Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Washington team. But, man, that last quarter, he threw back-to-back bad interceptions. It was terrible, and pretty soon the game was out of reach.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the reasons, actually, I really like having Jimmy out in Arizona. I feel like you get kind of the lowdown on some of the West Coast teams that I feel like I'm not as tied to. One of the other matchups I'm looking at this week is the Buffalo Bills are favored in their game against the Las Vegas Raiders. They're flying out for that game. And then, you know, the Bills are 3-0, so they're favored to win. But I actually think this is the game they're going to finally lose. I think the Raiders can put a stop to Josh Allen and his amazing run. But we'll see. I could be eating a lot of crow here because I already have with Josh Allen.
Are you not a believer in Josh Allen, or do you think?
I'm a reluctant believer. You know, I was really down on him at the beginning of the season. Did not think he was a top 10 quarterback. He's proven me definitely wrong, and I'm really regretting because he was there really late. You could have gotten him past round 10 in a lot of leagues. And so, man, I'm so disappointed I did not take him and just stash him. He's looking great. But, you know, I do think he's got to come down to earth. This guy cannot be – I don't know. We'll see. They're 3-0. I just can't see it continuing.
Hey, let me run some news and notes by you guys as well, too. Paris Campbell set for surgery, probably not out for the season. Michael Pittman is also out. Your last person is T.Y. Hilton. So are you looking to play and start T.Y. Hilton this year, thinking he's going to do well? He has not been doing well, four catches in the first 3 weeks. Or are you looking at someone like Mo Alie-Cox? Jim, what do you think? Oh, go.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, you forgot about Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end. He's doing great. It's an excellent pickup. And also, our pickup we talked about way back in week one, Nyheim Hicks. Don't count this guy out, man. I think they're going to be throwing a lot more to the backs, throwing a lot more to the tight ends. I would not pick up Hilton. I don't think he can carry the team anymore.
No, I agree with you as well, too. I think Indianapolis is just going to dump short passes to their running backs and their tight ends. And they're going to try to survive with whoever's left off of the wide receivers. I do think that every week T.Y. Hilton's going to get his 50 yards, but he's not the player he used to be.
Jim, with Philadelphia, Goddard is out. All of their Rager is out. The only one left standing is Miles Sanders as well as Zach Ertz. Is there anyone in Philadelphia that you're looking at that you're going to pick up on waivers? Anyone in Philadelphia?
No, I mean, I have Miles Sanders as my starting running back in a few teams. My only concern is that he's injury prone. And so I think he's doing really well right now. Whether or not he can last for the entire season as one of the featured offensive weapons as well as the back, that's a big thing. I also seen that there's been a lot of rumors out there where a lot of fans have been calling for Wentz to be dumped and for them to bring in somebody else to be able to play as well, too.
Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma behind him. It'll be great to see him play. That guy can run and pass. I mean, he was an amazing leader back with the Sooners. So we'll see. I'm excited to see him get a shot in the NFL.
You think the Eagles will dump a former MVP, though?
No, I think they're calling for him. I'd be shocked at this point. It's too early. If it continues, though, if they don't start picking it up and winning, I could see by like week seven, week eight. But right now, it's way too early.
Now, for all of you guys who are sitting here, now the games have been postponed. Some of the games have been postponed. You're desperate with injuries. There is Greg Ward, the last remaining wide receiver in Philadelphia. He's available, only been picked up in 9% of your league. He's probably your only wide receiver left. Alshon Jeffrey may or may not come back. He may be someone that you just stash on your waiver wire or pick up if you're really desperate. Yep. Hey, Deebo Samuel set to return to practice. Are you looking at either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk? Jed, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually not playing them this week. I have both those guys on several teams, and I'm just waiting. I want to see how they do, how they look after their injury, especially Deebo. Deebo's the guy that, you know, if he's fully healthy, he could put up some serious points. You guys remember him in the last, basically the last quarter of last season was a number one wide receiver. So that's the guy I'm waiting on and really hoping that he'll pan out, because that could be a super low pick and it could turn into a number one.
You guys think that Nick Mullins, the starting quarterback for the 49ers, do you think he can handle it, handle the pressure?
Is Jimmy G back? I know he was starting to – I thought he was starting to practice.
No, I think Nick Mullins is playing one more game this week, isn't he?
Okay.
Yeah, let me double
check. That's another reason to wait. I know that Kittle's is back this week, so you definitely want to get him in there. But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, that does play a little bit into the role, but hopefully they'll get Jimmy G back and then you know, everything will turn out okay.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a quick question. Damian Harris returns to practice. He probably won't be starting this week or playing this week, but suddenly now you have James White, you have Rex Burkhead, J.J. Taylor got some carries, Sony Michel is there. Damian Harris, is he even on your radar? Jed, I know exactly what you're going to say. Jim, what do you think?
You know, I don't know, because right now as I'm talking to you, I have on my team Damian Harris on the IR that I have to decide, do I move him back and dump another player, or do I just dump Damian Harris? I don't know.
I actually was in that exact situation, and I think that's what Tommy was talking about, and I had to drop him because the backfield is just too crowded. You know, I had to go with a sure thing. In fact, I think I picked up Justin Jefferson and dropped him. So, yeah, Damian Harris.
Oh, I would do that.
But I like Damian Harris, man. I think he has great potential. I think that once they start to feature the guy, he's going to be the back that, you know, Belichick loves having a consistent back, but he needs his opportunities.
Okay, so here's my decision, and I'm in the same situation as you. Do I drop Jerry Jeudy for Damian Harris? And yesterday before the game, I almost did, but Jeudy went off. Like, he scored 20 fantasy points and had 61 reception yards with 40-yard TD. So
yeah, I wouldn't. I would keep Judy. I think, you know, in Denver, he's pretty much, well, other than this surprise Tim Patrick guy. But yeah. Judy, I feel like, is the only, you know, kind of solid. And he's already produced for you. Whereas, you know, Damian Harris, it really is a shot in the dark. And I would not expect him. I could see him getting a few carries, but I would expect him to be featured for at least a couple more weeks. So you might be okay waiting a week or two before you can pick him back up.
Here's my other question, because I know we have to talk about players. Would you drop Cam Akers for Damian Harris?
I would. I think Akers is out. I mean, Henderson has been playing well. I think, I don't know. For me, I was down on Akers, though, before the season. This was a guy I was saying to stay away from anyway. So that's playing into my decision.
All right. We're running out of time here. So we wanted to go through a couple of segments. Let me just run through some of the other key news and notes of the day. Deontay Johnson close to being clear from concussion protocol. Julio Jones trending towards playing Monday Night Football. Lazar is out. He did so well, so he probably will be out, if not for the season, close to being part of the entire season. DeAndre Hopkins misses practice on Thursday. And
he'll play.
You think he'll play? Devontae Adams returns to practice on Thursday. He probably will play. Raheem Mostert doesn't practice on Thursday, but it's a game time decision at this point in time. Jerick McKinnon practices Thursday, probably will play. And Cam Akers unlikely to play in week 4. Henry Ruggs doesn't practice on Thursday, probably will not play. Scotty Miller, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, misses practice, probably will not play. And George Kittle will be playing Sunday. Sunday night versus the Eagles.
I'm really happy about this George Kittle news.
Yeah, Hopkins always takes Thursdays off. That guy, they give him a ton of rest. Unless you see him not get a walkthrough on Friday, he'll play.
Yeah. Hey, let's quickly go over in terms of sleepers and busts. And instead of our usual three, hey, Jed, give me one player that you think will be a sleeper that you think is going to do well, and one person, a bust, that you just don't think is going to do well.
Sure. So my sleeper for the week is going back to the Cowboys-Browns game. I think there's going to be a ton of points here. And I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. You know, that wide receiver crew, it's always hard to pick. But I think CeeDee's got something to prove against his former quarterback, Baker Mayfield. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to show up big in this game. And so that's my sleeper for the week. My bust for the week, I'm going back to Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is finally going to meet his match in Las Vegas. And I don't think he's going to have the output that he's had before. And so that's my bust for the week.
Interesting. Jim, what do you think? Who's your sleeper or bust for the week?
You know, I think the sleeper, he's not a sleeper anymore, but I think James Robinson will continue to do really well for the Jaguars. He ran last week for 77 rushing yards, but had 83 total yards. I think he's going to continue to do great, and fantasy owners are going to love him. I actually think my disappointment or my bust, Marquise Brown. I picked him up early. I was thinking that he was going to do well this year. He's disappointed me. Last week, he only did 2 passes for 13 yards. Maybe he'll pick it up, but I actually think that Marquise Brown is – still not going to do well this week.
You got to see this week, though. They're playing Washington. They're a huge favorite. That's the biggest spread of the week, a 13.5-point spread. So they're expecting the Ravens to really crush Washington. So, you know, there could be some points around there. I don't know. We'll see. But with your James Robinson one, I obviously love that pick. I actually think James Robinson might be the waiver wire pickup of the year. I think so far he has produced at a number one level, and he so far I think has been the number one waiver wire pick of the year.
Yeah. And at the same time, in terms of the Baltimore team, we have to understand, look, Lamar Jackson only threw for 97 yards. And so you're disappointed in Mark Andrews. You're disappointed in Marquise Brown. But at the same time, that's where the thing is. Now, at the same time, I would be very concerned about J.K. Dobbins, as well as because Gus Andrews,
Mark Ingram.
Yeah. Because Gus has really been taking a lot of the third running back snaps. And so he's taking stuff away from both Mark Ingram as well as J.K. Dobbins. Hey, so for me, my sleepers is, and you guys forgot him because everyone seems to forget him, Myles Gaskins, 22 carries, 66 yards. They're playing against the Seattle Seahawks, and the Seahawks can't stop anyone. Their defense is terrible. So now, at the same time, with Jordan Howard, he's going to get those 1 yard into the touchdowns, but I am hoping that that we're going to see Miles Gaskin gets another 22 to 25 carries, maybe 75 yards, and maybe one touchdown. That is my hope going to play Seattle as well, too. And
I love it. That's a great pick, Tommy. The one thing I would say to that is I think he's not going to get the rushing yards. He's going to get the passing yards. He'll get the receiving yards because Seattle's going to go up in this game. They're going to be ahead, so Miami's not going to be able to run. But the key is that Gaskins can still catch out of the backfield, so I like that pick a lot.
Unless they make an honest decision to keep those guys and just keep running the ball in order to stop the Seattle offense, because those guys are going crazy.
Yeah, good luck, man. MVP, Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, my pick for the Super Bowl. You're going to crush them.
You know what? I actually would not be surprised if the Dolphins beat the Seahawks this week.
Wow, that's your pick for the week? Yeah. That's huge.
I would not be surprised if they did. Because Fitzpatrick always has one game out of the year where he does really well. I'm thinking he'll do really well this week.
You know, the one thing I like about that pick is that it's in Miami. And for those of you who really watch football, if you're a football nerd, when teams have to travel from one coast to the other coast, you can statistically look at it historically, their winning percentages go down. It's just a huge, toll on your body. And it takes you out of your rhythm, out of your comfort zone. And so anytime you see a team, that's also for me, like Buffalo traveling all the way to Las Vegas, anytime you see those traveling, there's a good chance that there can be an upset.
Yeah. And my bust of the week, love your thoughts on it. Guys, we've talked about this. We thought David Johnson, when he got traded, still had something left. They're playing Minnesota Vikings, a historically good defensive team. In the last 2 weeks, last week he had 13 carries, 23 yards. Week two, 11 carries, 34 yards. He is my bust of the week. And some says actually the Houston offense is a bust of the week.
Yeah, they just don't have a good line. I mean, they're not protecting Deshaun Watson. They're not giving the time for the receivers to go downfield. They're not opening up any holes for David Johnson. And quite honestly, I mean, even before the start of the season, I was like, David Johnson, everyone is so hyped about him, but he's past his prime. I mean, I think he's just lost it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess I'm holding out hope. They're actually the favorites in the game, and they have a -4 spread. And it's in Houston, so it's at home. You know, I think the key is really Deshaun Watson. As long as Deshaun Watson is playing well, then there's going to be lanes for David Johnson to either at least get a goal line carry, or to get something out of the backfield. So I'm still holding out hope on this guy. I got him on several teams, so I'm probably a little bit of wishful thinking there, but I hope that he's not the bust.
Got it. Hey, let's go through real fast. We have about 10 minutes left in terms of start or sit. This is a time where we look at different scenarios. I pick your brain. But actually, before we do, let me actually ask you one thing is, we all know Daryl Henderson is starting as the starting running back, but you have Cam Akers who has been injured. When Cam Akers comes back, is he more of the long-term bet, or do you think Daryl Henderson will keep the starting running back job? Jed, let me go to you.
Yeah, that's a tough call. But as we were talking about, you know, I think Henderson has really basically won the coach over and the team over. So I have a hard time seeing Akers coming back in and starting to fight into that barring injury or something. So for me, Henderson is the guy that I would ride with.
Yep, Jim.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think short term, Henderson is the running back that the Rams are going to keep. I'm still putting out hope that Cam Akers is going to be the long-term running back. So I'm going to keep him on my team.
Got it. Jim, let me ask you a quick question. Do you believe that Mo Alie-Cox is the real deal?
I don't believe in any players on the Chargers except for Jonathan Taylor. So if it was up to me, yeah, I would not pick him up this week. If I were to pick up a tight end, I would pick up Jimmy Graham from the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, run over a couple of things. Would you do, Jed, let me go to you. If you had a chance between Josh Kelly or Carlos Hyde, who would you start?
Josh Kelly or Carlos Hyde? Ooh, that's tough. Because Kelly is getting the start, and Hyde, you're just depending on Chris Carson to be out, right? Yep. That's the key there. And I think Carson is trending upwards. I guess I would stick with Carlos Hyde because he's going to be involved no matter what, and they're probably going to ease Chris Carson back in. And as I said, I think that's going to be a high-scoring game, a lot of points there. So I think I'd go with Carlos Hyde.
Jim, Josh Kelly or Carlos Hyde?
I go with you, too. If I had to pick, I mean, I think you're going to get consistent maybe like 8 to 10 points from Kelly, but you have a higher upside with Hyde.
Got it. Yep, Carlos Hyde is a great pickup as well, too. Let me ask you a quick question. In terms of a flex, Jim, let me go over to you. Would you pick Daryl Henderson or Michael Gallup?
You know, I go with Gallup. I actually think that this week, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are going to do well against the Browns as well, too. The question will be who's going to be better, is Gallup or CeeDee Lamb? But at least for now, I'll take a chance on Gallup, especially after his performance from last week.
Chad, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you got to roll the dice with that. I always like to go with high-scoring games. So for me, if I feel like there's going to be a lot of points, that's where I like to put my chips in.
No, I completely disagree with all of you guys. You've got to go with the running back every single time. Look, he's probably the only one there. Malcolm Brown is terrible. Michael Gallup, you don't know who's going to show up. Is it Amari Cooper? Is it going to be Rifkin? I mean, all of these guys. So I go with the true one of the true running backs, Daryl Henderson.
All right. Not a bad argument.
Yeah. Jen, let me go to you. If you had to pick between pick one for a flex, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, or Robbie Anderson?
Ooh, so for me, right away, it goes to between Gibson and Robbie Anderson. Mm-hmm. And again, your wide receiver versus running back discussion there is valid. You know, I think, well, I was saying Washington's going to get destroyed by Baltimore, but there's still going to be points there on the board. I think Gibson is the guy I'd want starting running back for Washington is probably who I take.
Jim?
I think so as well, too. I mean, I like Gibson. I think he's actually done pretty well. Dwayne Haskins has been under fire the last few weeks, and I think they're going to need Gibson to produce and take some pressure off of Haskins. And so I can see the Washington team really relying on Gibson going forward. So I would pick Gibson.
But at the same time, I think it's a shootout. The Carolina Panthers are playing the Arizona Cardinals. I think you're just going to be airing it out, and especially with Christian McCaffrey, they're going to be throwing it to Mike Davis and Robbie Anderson. I actually would, out of the three, pick Robbie Anderson for this week.
No, but honestly, and being here in Arizona, the Cardinals have a good defense. Now, okay, my only thing, Baker might be out this week. And so I think that does decimate your defense a little bit and opens up a lot more passing for the Panthers. So I know a lot of it also depends if Baker is going to be playing this week as well, too.
Yep. Jim, let me ask you a quick question. David Johnson, Jerick McKinnon, or Adrian Peterson, pick one.
For sure not David Johnson. I am not a David Johnson fan as well, too. I think they're going to continue to feed the ball for Adrian Peterson. But I think Adrian Peterson, I mean, you always know what you're going to get. You're going to get your 10 to 12 points from him. So I would not go with either of those players. So,
yeah, Jed?
I would take Jerick McKinnon out of that group. I agree. It's probably not David Johnson. It's between McKinnon and Peterson. I do like the Lions, by the way, over the Saints this week. That's another upset pick, even though the Saints are favored. But I think Jerick McKinnon, so assuming, you know, Mostert isn't playing, McKinnon is getting the start. I'm looking for him to put up points with the 49ers.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, if Mostert does not start, I pick Jerick McKinnon. But if Mostert does start, I actually would pick David Johnson out of the three, because a lot of times, Adrian Peterson, you're still dealing with Kerryon Johnson, and you still have DeAndre Swift sitting there, who I still love. David Johnson is still your clear-cut running back one, even though he's had troubles. Out of the three, I do like a David Johnson.
Hey, talking about Jerick McKinnon, I just made this trade. See what you guys think. I have a ton of wide receivers on my team and needed a running back because I had Christian McCaffrey and he went down. So I traded Julio Jones for Mike Davis and Jerick McKinnon. What do you guys think?
Really? I'm surprised. Well, here's my thing is Julio Jones with Mike Davis, and those guys are short-term guys. And so whoever traded over to you, they're only going to play for a couple weeks, maybe in week 7, maybe in week 8, but you're going to the playoffs with Julio Jones.
Yeah, but Julio Jones, to me, as I said, I think he's becoming the number two. I don't think he's the number one anymore. I think he's on the way down. And what my thinking was that now with Mike Davis, it covers me, you know, because I've got Christian McCaffrey. So that covers me. And then once he's done, McCaffrey can come back in and I can slot in. So then I've always got that number one running back. At least that was my thinking, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think?
I don't know if I would have made it. I would still rely on Julio Jones. I think he's got something left to prove, whether it's with the Falcons, or if they decide to trade him.
I do agree.
Calvin Ridley is going to be your number one receiver in Atlanta, but I think there's enough to go around for Julio Jones. By the way, Mostert did not participate in Thursday, and they said he will most likely not participate on Friday. My guess is they're going to rest him one more week and play McKinnon.
I'm telling you, Jerick McKinnon is a pretty decent running back for all of you guys. I mean, he was supposed to be the starting running back when they signed him out of Minnesota 2 years ago. He got injured. He's very fast. He can catch out of the backfield. Tevin Coleman is junk, all right? They keep trying to give it to Tevin Coleman. He is junk, and he keeps getting injured. Jerick McKinnon is a great backup, but Raheem Mostert is really good. But if he's not playing, you got to play Jerick McKinnon.
Well, going back to the 49ers, I mean, I've been actually even surprised that Nick Mullins has been doing pretty good. I've been reading some of these newspapers or articles about how they were saying that they should start Nick Mullins over Jimmy G. But Kyle Shanahan came out the other day and just said that's not going to happen. But Mullins has actually done pretty well if you've looked at his stats.
Hey, Jed, let me ask you, who are you going to start, Kenny Galladay, Julio Jones, or DK Metcalf? I do know which one you're going to talk about.
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, DK Metcalf all day long, man. I am so up on that guy. I know he had that boneheaded play last week, but this guy, if you watch him, he just is a linebacker with wide receiver speed. It doesn't make any sense. When you watch him on the field, he's this huge guy, but he's so fast. I love his physicality. And again, I think basically, you know what? I think it proved when they play New England, they put – their number one corner on Metcalf. They didn't put him on Tyler Lockett, right? They put Stephon Gilmore on Metcalf. So Metcalf is the number one. He's my guy. That's who I'd pick.
All right. And Jim, let me ask you, your team is decimated by injuries. Here's a couple more. Your team is decimated by injuries. There's waiver wires is bare. Who are you looking at? Are you looking at Greg Ward at 9% pickup, Mecole Hardman, or Scantling?
Can I add a fourth player that you have not mentioned?
Which one?
Chase Claypool. Claypool is my person because I was really looking at Mecole Hardman, but I actually think the way that Steelers are going and the fact that Claypool is still out there, I pick Claypool all of that group.
But Deontay Washington just got back, right? So
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson.
I think there's room in any Pittsburgh offense. For a third player.
Oh, wait, Pittsburgh's not playing this week, though, right?
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, they're not playing this week. Yeah. Okay, but, right. I mean, if I were to pick the other – but Claypool has the ability to be able to take these long plays and score tons of points. So
I like the Scantling pick there, given that we said that Lazard is out, and Davante Adams is supposed to play, but Scantling is the number two. I like that.
Yeah, the only problem with Jed is every time Scantley plays, or they always identify him, he plays a dud, all right? Lazar has done well. Scantley hasn't done anything. Look, Mecole Hardman has at least the potential, and we've talked about him during the preseason, do really, really well.
Yeah,
Mecole Hardman is fun to watch.
The other player who's out there that is still available that I think will do well, Shenault from the Jaguars. Even though Chark is coming back, I think long-term for the season, Shenault is going to do pretty well.
Got it. All right. Well, hey, last thing. Lamar Miller visits with the Bears for a workout. If he does, are you going to pick him up? Is he someone on your radar, Jim?
No, I hate Lamar Miller.
I've got David Montgomery, so I'm banking on him getting a ton of carries this week and having a good game and the Bears beating the Colts and continuing to be the surprise of the season. So I hope that's the – well, I don't know.
Do you think Nick Foles is going to do well this week?
I think Foles is going to do well. I think the big thing with Foles, as we've talked about, is just injury. So long as he's healthy, I think Foles is going to do really well. I mean, I think the offense is going to look totally different. I think Bears fans are going to be super excited because he's going to move the ball up and down the field. It'll be a fun game to watch. It's a tough matchup with the Colts. The Bears are slightly actually, technically, the Bears are underdogs. The Bears are favored by 2.5 points. But technically, if you're at home, you should be favored by 3. So that means Vegas thinks that the Colts actually might win this game.
I know the Colts played against the Jets last week, but did you see how many points they scored? They scored 25, I forgot, it was like 26 fantasy points because they had all those interceptions and sacks. So they're a good defense.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup, but man, I'm excited. For me, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid right now. I want Foles to do well.
Now, the only thing is we have to remember Frank Wright coached Nick Foles in Philadelphia. And so he knows exactly what his weaknesses are. I'm sure he's going to capitalize on those weaknesses.
That's a great point, Tony. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, we'll have to see.
Hey, Tom, yeah. Are we almost done? Because I want to ask you guys a quick question.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so I made a trade, Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown for Davante Adams. What do you think?
That's good. That's pretty good. I mean, Davante Adams is clear number, you know, top three wide receiver. Andrews has been really disappointing, and he was my number one pick for tight end for this year. So I've been really disappointed with the Ravens passing game. And yeah, I like that actually. I mean, I generally like to do two for ones where I'm the one, because you generally should be getting the better player. Although this season, as you've talked about, Jimmy, yeah, it's been more difficult, but I like that trade.
I am surprised that person made the trade, because let's say you pick up Davante Adams, clear cut number one. Marquise Brown has not been doing well. You have Gesicki probably still on waivers. You have probably Jimmy Graham still on waivers. That's a pretty good trade. I'm surprised they actually made that trade.
By the way, that person does listen to this podcast. So,
so hey, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at fantasymatchup.nfl. And that is fantasymatchup.nfl. On Mondays, we actually talk with injuries with Dr. Shadid. On Tuesdays, we talk with Jed on waiver wire pickups. Even though, Jed, we are talking about doing a Wednesday night and changing it from Tuesday morning for 1 week, doing it on Wednesday night. And on Fridays, we talk about start sit-in scenarios and preview week 4. So, hey, thank you very much. And we will talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.